Welcome to Simply Stogies podcast. I am one of your hosts, James. The first show back after all the trade show stuff, as I try to get all the equipment here in the studio back to where it was. Nick Sears, my co-host, LH Cigars, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. Another podcast back in the routine.
Yeah, like I'm doing another one of these.
Kind of glad to get PCA done with. That's sure.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. We've got great guests for you tonight, which we'll get to them here in just a second. But we've got Jonah Santana and Miyagi Montes from Blackbird Cigars. Very much looking forward to introducing you guys to them and their brand. If you've never heard of them, where have you been? But before we do, look, you have a very limited time, 10 days. By the time this podcast comes out, 10 days, May 11th, My Old Kentucky Herf, $225. It's in Ashland, Kentucky. Fat Ash Cigars, Dwight and Steven put on a great event every year. You should go. You should absolutely go. It's my favorite event. It's going to quickly become your favorite event. Here's what you're going to get for your $225. All right. You're going to get two beer tickets. You're going to get food. You're going to get at least 20 cigars from all of the blenders and principals there for all of the brands. And you might get more. It just depends. Plus, there's raffles. Giveaways all throughout the day. This is a fantastic event. Plus, you're going to get FaceTime with some of these folks, all of these folks, as you go through and you pick up your cigars. Look, here's who's coming that we know about. My friend, my co-host, my mentor, if you will, in cigars, Nicholas Sears. Like, that's like the guy's an expert when it comes to Cubans, master blender. He hates that. I invite you to call him Master Blender, when you see him, it's going to be a great time. Luke Cross from Lure Cigars is going to be there. Luciano Morales from Luciano Cigars and West Tampa Tobacco will be there with Chef Rick and Sarah Rodriguez. They're always a good time. Greg Free Fortaleza y Libre will be there. Oscar Valdez is rumored to attend as well. I know that Justo Arroa from JRE is going to be there.
That's right.
Tom Lazuka from Asylum 13 is going to be there. Possibly somebody from Espinosa Cigars. Look, guys, it is a big event. It's the largest cigar event in the Midwest. Here's how you get your tickets. You call Fat Ash at 606-254-0484. Yes, I've got it memorized. 606-254-0484. Tell Tim if he answers the phone, or Dwight, or Steven, that Simply Stogie sent you, and I hope to see you there May 11th. It's going to be a good time. Now, let's get to our guest, because I'm super excited for this. Today, I'm smoking the Superb from Blackbird, and I'm very happy to introduce to you Jonas and Miyagi, his national sales rep. Jonas, Miyagi, welcome to the program, guys.
What's up, James? What's up, Nick?
Hey.
Now, Jonas, I've known you for a few years. We've talked every time we're at the trade show, and I've been dying to get you on. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm very appreciative.
Is this my first time?
This is your first time on my show, yeah.
No, James, don't lie in real life.
No, this is it. First time. I mean it. And so I'm humbled to have you on, brother. You're always fun to talk to. And we want to get to how you and Miyagi met, but like, for somebody who's not familiar with Blackbird Cigars, like, first, shame on them. But second, like, maybe tell the folks at home about Blackbird, and kind of what you guys have going on. Then we'll get into the Superb and the new factory and bringing on Miyagi and all that good stuff.
Blackbird was created for the modern mindset people. Doesn't matter the age. If you're modern, you feel young inside, you are Blackbird cigar consumer or potential Blackbird cigar consumer. So we wanted to really stand out. Like, we believe like there's a lot of people old school already and people that have a tradition in this, that they did their thing, and I applaud them for what they did. But now I think we needed more refresh before I started the brand. So we wanted something more appealing to the modern mindset people. And also, I believe that nowadays you need to motivate the guys. Like, that's why we created the slogan, "Can't Clip My Wings and Follow Your Dreams." I believe we live in an era that people just show you what they have supposedly, because in Instagram, everybody's rich. But they don't really give you the true motivation, the true information, how to get there, and how patient you must be before you get there. So I like to talk cigars at the time, but every time I can also have like the chance to talk with the people, we don't talk about cigars only. We'll talk about what do we want to accomplish? What should you be accomplished? What motivation can I give you? What information can I give you so we can have a great conversation? What the cigars do, man? Cigars unify people. So once we unify people, we know it all about cigars. What else are we going to talk about? I believe it's always great to talk about your dreams, what you're going to get. How can I be a bridge for you to reach your goals? That's what we like. That's the conversation that we're going to have when we have the Blackbird Ambience.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that this is you wanted a modern brand, you wanted a kind of a fresh look into the industry, and I think you have that. I think you have a fresh perspective on what cigars are and how to, forgive me if this is the wrong word, but market them and show that you really can have a conversation. Nick and I always say that, you know, the cigar is a great equalizer, and that can be boring. Because typically this is a industry, a hobby, if you will, a lifestyle that is dominated by old fat white guys such as myself. so you really have in the last, I saw something before the PCA you put out on social media where you were really going after millennials and Gen Zs who are coming of age that are able to, you know, to turn in 21, able to smoke a cigar, and you're really trying to grab them. And you've done a lot of things in the past as well, Jonas, that is, for example, the Macaw. When the Macaw came out, one of your limited editions a couple of years ago, there was an AR, altered reality or parrot that would.
It's like we say, like, we always have birds. This one, we're going to bring the bird to life. And that's how you play around with the phone and you bring the bird to life. And at the same time, due to what I like to do along with my team, because there's a lot to talk about them too, it's not only about me, I say another way to really get to a modern mindset is I make music, and the bird, when it get out, it was also with one of my songs in the background.
Yeah, that's something that I don't think it's talked about a lot. Is you are a cigar manufacturer, you are in the industry, you love cigars, but you also have a passion for music.
I love music. I love hip hop, rap, reggaeton. We call it urbano music. I like to respect a lot the craft, so that's why sometimes what I do is I really think what I want to say and how I want to project in a way that is not offensive for anybody. My music project, of course, is something outside of the Blackbird stuff, but it has helped a lot to bring entertainment to the Blackbird brand. I'm making music. I'm still making music. Every time I'm in a way that I really want to take some time off, I go and jump into the studio and start making music. One of my dreams is to make a Blackbird song, something that people can also rap about.
Hey, Jonas, and Jonas. Somebody already beat you to that, right? It's a little group. You might not have heard of them. It's called the Beatles.
Beatles.
So you got a song already, buddy.
I know I have a song, but I can make the Can't Click My Wings song or We Fly High. I don't know.
So there, for you though, Jonas, there's a connection between music and cigars, and obviously you have a passion for both, but how, like, when you to bring both of those together, certainly out of the box thinking, wouldn't you say?
What would be the question in this case?
Like, it's out of the box, but why is it why music and why cigars? Is it just those are your two passions, or like, what's the connection between both of them for you?
Well, music is something that I like since I was a kid. I didn't choose to really love music as I like. Also cigars, I got involved in cigars before I even smoked cigars. I got to learn it. I got to travel a lot of places. I got to enjoy it. And I just came in and I loved it after that. I like to be around a lot of people, and the cigars is something that really helped on that. Music, just because I love it so much. And I'm like, how many people will tell you, hey, James, every time you smoke a cigar, there's a cigar playlist. You're going to listen to this song. It's out of the box. People try to always market the cigars the same way all the freaking time. So I always believe in uniqueness. People try to make a brand sometimes. Oh, because I have 20 years smoking cigars. Okay, that doesn't mean at all. You have to pay your dues sometimes. You got to do a lot of things before you get there. That doesn't mean that my partner, Vladimir, and my partner, Papo, they do music or whatever. That's something that I started on my own. And I was like, oh, it fits. It works. Even Miyagi, he told me, and I didn't know about this, he said he started looking more about Black Bear because he found out I was making music and he found it interesting. So he, let's say he became a fan and like, wow, every time I smoke a Black Bear, I can listen to Yontana. It make a lot of sense for me.
Let me kind of back up a little bit here, because you're talking about music and you're talking about that you've been in cigars for a while and you really loved it. How did you start with cigars? Do you remember your first cigar? What was it that started this journey for you into this world?
It was 14 years ago. I was looking for a job. I was coming from Corona, Queens, because where I spent around 6 months living with my brother. And then I came back. I had to finish college. And one of my friends that still owns a factory was looking for a marketing guy. So he told me if I can help him doing the branding and everything. So once I did it, he said, man, instead of paying you, do you want a job? And I'm like, all right, I can do it. And I jumped inside of the factory. So I spent 3 years over there. But one of the cool things is like a month after, I became very good friends with the master blender. So I asked him, can you teach me? And he said, if you're serious about it, I can teach you. So you got to come here 1 hour before your work shift every day, and you're going to make cigars, and you're going to smoke different kind of leaves every day. And I did it like that for a year. Year after, he left. So I was 1 hour working in the Galera, then 8 hour shift working in my marketing, designing. I was doing all of that. Plus I was doing sales calls at the same time. So I was a lot of things at the same time. Then a lot of years passed by. I got, let's say, transfer here. I got to do a lot of everything that you do in a warehouse, plus selling containers, everything, you name it. It was only me. That gave me the information on how to do a lot of things. Then I got an idea of the Blackbird. I pitched it. I really pitched it first to my brother. And my brother also helped me to understand that I needed to pitch it first to the factory, because they were the ones that really brought me in, which he was always true. Like, you got to be loyal. I explained it to them. Father said yes. Son was no. And I don't want it to be in that conflict. A year later, after another conflict, I decided to leave. When I left, I was still illegal in the country and not really too much money. So that also helped me to have the motivation. My brother came on board. We call the master blender that teach me 14 years ago, and he had no job. He was working as in a little factory, trying to make a living. And I call him, it's the right time we can come together. And something that I always found very cool, the same guy that teach me is nowadays also my partner. That's beautiful for me. And my brother believed in me. He started getting all the knowledge he can. So now we are a phenomenal team of three. Let's say what we call out about the head of the company. Everybody do our role. And it has been phenomenal since then.
So it really is a family affair for you. Even the master blender who taught you, that's now your partner, I mean, really steeped you into this, which I think is great. Which to kind of fast forward a little bit, and we'll come back, we'll circle back here after a little bit, but I want to bring Miyagi into this conversation. How did you meet up with Miyagi? Or maybe I should ask Miyagi. Miyagi, how did you meet up with Jonas? He says that you saw that he was putting music to his cigars, and his marketing was interesting and different and unique than what everybody else was doing. What else drew you to him, and how did you reach out to him and be like, hey, can I have a job? Or like, what was the conversation?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. It's a funny story for me, honestly. It was 2020. You know, I was working from home, and when you're not working, you know, I was spending most of my time just, you know, enjoying some cigars. And that's when the digital era to me just kind of like blew up. A lot of these, like the boutique cigars or the just not your normal cigars, we started finding a little bit more and more and more through a common friend. He was actually doing a little live on Instagram, and Jonas just so happened to pop up for a moment. And I'm like, who's this crazy guy here? And he just jumped on the live and started talking and just joking and hanging out. And we all speak Spanish. So, you know, it was like, okay, cool. We got somebody in the industry speak Spanish, and we, you know, we're just kind of hanging out. I found that really interesting that he took out of his time, you know, just to kind of like chill with us and have a cigar on Instagram, just hanging out. And then, so it just kind of like sparked a little bit of that curiosity for me. Then I found out it's not only doing cigars, he was doing music. I'm like, where in the world does one get time to put on a studio and then time to like not just make cigars, but go out there and sell them? Like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Just to like literally think about it, to me, it was just crazy. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. It's like, it can't be good music. It can't be. And I was proven wrong. I became a fan of the music. I was like, you know, I wasn't much of an urban, like Latin urban music myself in a while. My wife was, and she got me into reggaeton and stuff. So I'd listen to it every now and then. And then she caught me listening to the music, and I was like, who's that guy? I was like, this crazy dude I found on Instagram, and his music actually kind of slaps. And from then on, you know, every now and then we would just kind of like communicate, you know, on Instagram. And he's one of the very few people out there who go out of his way to say, hey, thank you for the support, man. Appreciate it. Do you like the cigar? Did you try one of the cigars? You know, we just, you know, got to having conversations and eventually became friends, you know. And then whenever he was in town, I made sure that I could give him the support. So oddly enough, I got a local shop and I brought him one of the cigars, the Coco. That was my first cigar that I met from the company. And it's like, dude, you got to try this. And I'm telling you, whenever you go to TPE this year, I want you to go and listen to the most loudest booth. You're going to see this one dude here, very crazy, probably dancing. Just go out there, shake his hand, talk to him. I promise you, you're going to be good friends. He's like, I don't know. I don't know if we can work this out. I don't know if that works over here. I'm like, I'm telling you, just go say hi. And I kid you not, he came back 2 weeks. He's like, yo, that Jonas dude, crazy, man, crazy. I love him. I was like, I told you. That's what he does. But
hey, Jonas. Can I ask a question? Jonas, obviously I'm familiar with your cigars, but I'm also into music. I mean, most people, I think, at some level or another. I'm curious to really, you know, get turned on to your music. How do I find, how does our audience, our podcast listeners get in touch? Or do you have like a Spotify list, or do you have your music anywhere where we can, I want to look into it myself.
Yeah, you can find me as Jontana RD. Jontana RD in YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. I'm all of them. Yeah. And I can always tell you every time you're gonna light up a cigar, you can probably listen to Jontana. It's gonna be a better enjoyment.
All right.
Yeah, now
not to say anything, but at PCA, I'm not gonna name the booth, but they had loud music, and one of the tracks that they were playing was actually Jonas's song, and I was like, it literally stopped us in the track for a second. I'm like, hey, listen to that. Because it was another company and they were playing Jonas's song. And I'm like, you got to go over there, man.
Did they know they were playing Jonas's song, or was it just arbitrarily?
I don't think they knew. I don't think they knew it was his actual music. I found it hilarious.
Knowing where your booth was located and who you could probably hear around you, I think I can extrapolate which booth it was. All right. So back to you, Miyagi. So you really kind of dug the vibe that Jonas is putting out, from the music to the cigars, which I love his original core line for me. I was blown away because I look at these and look, I'll put the band here. You guys can see it here. It's bright. I mean, it's got the back background, but it's also this almost bright baby blue, and it's very eye-catching, and all of your bands are like that, Jonas. But his core line for me shocked me, Miyagi, about how good it was. It wasn't just, oh yeah, these are eye-catching bands and the boxes look great. It was, holy shit, these are actually really good. So you're picking up what he's putting down. How did this relationship with Jonas progress?
Well, as time actually went, we just, you know, again, we talked every now and then, and because he was in the shop, eventually when he was, you know, about to do an event at the shop, I was literally advocating for it every day. It's like, when are you going to get the event? When is Jonas coming? You got to bring Jonas over, you know, let's hang out. I promise it'll be fun. But it just, things, time wasn't working out. Somehow in the midst of this, I meet another company, Alan, founded by Loyalty. And then I actually ended up working with him at TPE. That's when I actually got to meet Jonas in person the first time. And, you know, like when you've had this, like, I don't know, like you know somebody online and you chit chat and whatever, it's kind of like, it's fun. But whenever you meet, it's like you've known each other for a while. Like, he literally embraced, you know, and brought me in right away. Like I was part of the crew. And to me, that was kind of shocking. I'm like, you only know me online, but wow, you know. And every day at TPE, we took a little bit of time to chit chat and hang out and talk. And then I realized he's a wealth of knowledge and his approach is completely different. It's not the same approach. I've, you know, been blessed to meet other cigar makers and brands and all these things. They've been hilarious and fun. But his approach is still today way different. And I was like, I want to learn from that. That's, if I ever get into the industry, that's where I want to learn. That's like, you know, the passion of the music is one of my things. I've always loved music. The way that he was able to bring it together, the colorfulness of the actual cigars. And honestly, the core line, it really hit me. It was things that I just hadn't experienced. Coming from Puerto Rico, I've always had classic Torraño cigars and, you know, classic Nicaraguas, classic Dominicans. And moving over to something different, this was an actual fresh take, an absolute fresh take. And when it came down to the cigars, every one of them, and I'm not a Connecticut guy, and I don't smoke that Connecticut.
It's really good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not your everyday Connecticut. So you wanted to be a part of it. And I can absolutely understand why, because it is different than everything in the industry. And that's not a knock on everyone else in the industry. It's honestly not, but it is refreshing to find somebody who has a fresh take on it and is trying to do things differently. And Jonas, you certainly do that. But I have to ask, because I think Miyagi said it, and I think even and Nick brought it up as well, you wear a lot of different hats. It's not just, you know, cigar manufacturer. It's blender. It's marketing. It's overall vision. It's music. It's you now own a factory. Like, there's a lot of different hats that you wear, Jonas. How do you find the time in the day to get everything done? Like, I'm just curious. Like, what do you get up at 3 o'clock and go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and do 2 hours sleep? I don't understand.
I want the help. I want the help with Megani answering this. Miyagi, what happened when I tell you we did this? What else did I tell you?
We're going to be busy. There's a lot of work coming down the pipeline. It's going to be our year.
And do I always tell you we can make it better?
Oh, yes. Every time. He never gets tired of it. There's nothing is ever right. It can be better.
Do I always tell you we can be faster?
Yes. It gets on my nerves. We could definitely be faster.
That's my mindset, man. We have to do things always better, organization. But I'm also, I pick his brain, he picks from mine. I'm not a guy that is like a dictator. I have my driven in what I want to do. But to try to really answer about the timing, I like to work in a way that is always organized. I put even my family time in my calendar, like when I'm going to eat with them, when I'm not going to eat with them, when I'm going to spend only 30 minutes with my kid, and after that is daddy time with wife, and that's it. I schedule everything. But also, I email a lot, so I don't forget things. A lot of email. I help that. My brother even learned that from me, and I have learned a lot of things from him. But the thing is, I don't like to – it's like I like to give more space to my disc. I take it out because I did it. I take it out again. What's the next step? What we're gonna do all the time? How to be a very fast communicating guy and always proper at the same time? That helped me a lot to have some time, not always, some time for me Well, my wife told me that I'm a workaholic. I arrived from a 1 week straight trip from New York on Sunday. I spent 3-4 hours with them, and the hour number five, I went to the warehouse to record a song and to send a couple of emails. And my wife was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "We need to finish this because we are in the growing process. We need to do a lot of things, and I need to do things that help me. Like, I don't have time to still to really go and get drunk with my friends, which sometimes I try to do it. So my off time, the most of the time, is making music. That's my off time, even that it's still work. But I don't know, man. Also, I can do sometimes Call of Duty, but it's about what is the goal? I want to have one day that I don't need to work for 2-3 days, but I'm so organized that I'm able to keep managing a lot of things and put a lot of hats. Like, I went to Dominican Republic this year already like 5-6 times. I did one trip that was less than 24 hours just because I needed to meet with a customer. And I needed to do this, and I needed to do that. And then I can tell you, I already took 24 planes just this year. Last year was 67 planes. But on the in the airplane, everybody's looking at me. I'm sending emails all the time. And if I'm not sending emails, I'm probably designing something because I'm also a graphic designer. So depending on what's the stage, if we're going to do something from scratch or we're going to just move a couple things around, I don't need to call a designer. I just do it on my own. And my free time sometimes is being forced inside of the airplane for 3 hours that I cannot really call anybody. And that helped me to also do, that's my office time as well. Like tomorrow, that's going to be my office time.
Wow. Let me ask you this, and I don't know, Nick, you can maybe chime in if you've got some questions around this, because it sounds to me like you're not so much a perfectionist. You're, this is good, but we can make it better. This is great, we can make it better. This is excellent, but we can make it better. You're always trying to one-up yourself. So
No. He's a perfectionist. You can say
so,
it. He's
okay, a perfectionist. So if you're a perfectionist, look, you had your core line that is, and the Superb is the newest addition. It's the newest addition to the core line. And for the past few years, it's just been, at least you had the Glitch, you had the Macaw. I'm trying to think if there's another one that I'm missing. If I am
to give
the Hawk, thank you. And so you were focusing on that. Was that a time thing? Like you were getting your factory up and running, so you decided not to come out with a new core line, and now that it's up and it's running, and is that why we have the Superb now? Is because you had time to work on that blend?
Let me tell you, from 2022 to 2023, I didn't want to have anything out. I wanted to visit all my current accounts because I wanted to start this year very strong. I needed to perfect every single blend that we currently have. The brand already have the full potential to blow out, which it did in 2019, 2021 was an amazing year. But I thought, me and my brother, we needed to perfect every single blend. So in case we go back ordering something, which people can still buy another something else because it's great anyways. And I told Miyagi in January, "Miyagi, we're going to be busy." I'm like, "What is it? This guy telling me, we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy." And now he tell me, "Brother, I changed from people not wanting to have an appointment with me to I'm always welcome every time I want to come." That's funny, man. That's funny, man. That's so funny when he told me that. But every time, everything you do in any industry, okay, I know better the cigar industry. You have to plan before you get to a certain point. You have to know how many boxes you need for how many accounts you're going to visit, you're going to ship. Also, communication for me is very powerful because if you tell somebody ahead of time, from here to a month, we're going to have a back order for 4 weeks. You know how much retailers appreciate that? I can only do that if we have organization from factory, warehouse, everybody has to be very with a great communication with everybody. And I'm always calling. Until I don't get my information, I'm going to be calling. I don't mind if the answer is going to be very bad, like screaming at me. But if I get what I want, I'm cool. But I'm always,
well,
I'm like, That's Miyagi.
He's always on the phone. If not on the phone, he's on the computer. But you should, if you ever hear the conversations, obviously it's with the factory, so it's in Spanish, but it's hilarious because they talk like, obviously it's a business, but they talk like they're family. Like, you should listen to him talking to Papo. It's like talking to his brother. It's hilarious. And there was joking, and even though it's a serious matter, but they always make it fun. And I think that's been, to me, the key of this growth is that, you know, even if it's not a good answer, it's still fun. You know, we're still laughing. We're still enjoying ourselves. We're still going out there. We're doing a job, right? But when he's on the phone, it's he's a machine. He just doesn't stop. That's why I would say you could call him perfectionist, because he just doesn't stop.
One thing that you said that resonates, of course, is everybody appreciates honesty, especially retailers. If you're telling them it's going to be back ordered 4 weeks, they may not want to hear that. But if you're honest with them, they'll appreciate and say, well, at least the guy's not bullshitting me and telling me it's going to be here next week. Because a lot of people do that. Oh, it's on its way. It's already shipped. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, hey, brother, where's my stuff? Oh, yeah, it's on the plane now. You know, instead of BSing people and telling them, hey, look, we'll get it out to you in 4 weeks, they'll appreciate that. So that's the right approach, definitely. And of course, that works wonders with your retailers, building that trust for sure.
Absolutely. And I can also tell you, with the team, factory and the U.S. and the retailers, I don't like to treat anybody as an employee or as a customer. Everybody that is my customer is going to turn to my family eventually. It's so boring to be traveling the whole nation, and every time you go back to the hotel, you feel lonely. I want to have somebody that I can call. I want to have somebody that I can probably get a beer. I want to have, by 40, I need to have 10,000 friends. That's my goal. Even how much I tell people what they need to do or whatever, after we finish that, it's game time. We're going to be relaxed. You can tell Miyagi, I can be on his ass all the time, and then Miyagi, give me a hug. Let's joke around. Let's do this. Let's do that. You got to enjoy what you do. And it's even better when you're having fun at the same time. Because trust me, being 12 hours on the road, plus planes and everything, if you don't really have this really relaxation, what's the face that I'm going to have every time I'm in front of a potential customer? I need to give him a great energy of happiness. Sometimes I turn to a psychology and listen to them because people don't want to listen to what they want to say. And I love that. I wanted to be leasing one day too. So I think my better success is how many people love me right now. And I love them back. I love them.
Let me change gears a little bit. I certainly want to revisit that philosophy here before we end the show, because I think it's a great philosophy to have is to grow the family and be a family and have fun, still be focused on what you want to do. But there's a way to do that and still have a good time doing it. And you seem to have found that balance. And I certainly want to kind of dig into that. But I also want to talk about the factory, because that's a big accomplishment for a boutique brand. Not a lot of boutique brands have their own factory. You have your own factory. Like, you kind of broke the mold and was like, I need my own factory. Can you talk about a little bit about the process that you went through, the thought process of why you wanted your own factory, and then, like, how easy was it, or how difficult was it to get that up and running?
In the small factory that we had with my master blender, I sold more than what I was supposed to sell, or to sell in this case, at that small factory. And also that factory didn't allow us to ferment our own tobacco. We needed to buy tobacco ready to work. And if we couldn't make that happen, we were not able to make cigars. So in the pandemic, I was one of the people that really, really got affected with the quality control and things like that. I even had to apologize with a couple of customers because of that. That's something that they respected nowadays, because I came clear face to face. So we saw the potential. We saw what we needed. My brother was pretty much in charge of that. And he said, I think we are confident that we can really get to a certain point. So let's see what can we put together, how much we can get from the bank and here and there. And he was right. Right now, even that I'm losing my hair, the growth just in the first quarter of this year has been humongous. Also, people think that because you have a big factory, you already use it all right away. No, we have room to grow. Right now, we are doing between 10,000 to 15,000 cigars a day, depending on the production. Capacity, wow, it is 28,000 cigars a day. We're not there yet. We will get there because I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping at the moment. That's my job. Like I say, everybody has a role. My brother has the role of, okay, we need everything to be up and running. My master blender, we are here to put every single cigar to be a masterpiece. And I'm here to move all the inventory that we have, to make relationships, to make friends, and to make people that support the brand. So everybody play a role right here. I can ever say it's all my thing. Probably, yeah, I'm the one that I'm not sleeping home every day like them, but Papo is smoking 20 cigars a day to make that happen. My brother is making sure that we have the cash flow always, all the time. Everybody is sacrificing at the moment. Most of the time, factories take probably 10 years, 15 years to have something this size. But time has changed. There's a lot of things that we did that we planned out before we get there. That's why we are there. I'm not going to tell you we are 100% of capacity. No. But the CH cigar that we're making there, even the bundle cigars, taste premium. Why? We want to be playing with the big guys. We want to be respected. My master blender always tell me, I will never take a chill until I see you taking pictures with the mayor players. That's his dream. He want to see me there. And my brother the same way. My brother, I want to be part of this group. I want to do this. I want to do that. Me and my kids, I want to be part of that. Yes, I know. I want to have my own lights. I want to have people that follow me because they love the brand, they love the family, they love me, they love whatever. And I think we can be like the superstar of this industry eventually. If we do it right, we plan it out. And man, there's still a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to fix stuff.
So you've mentioned that your master blender wants you to be mentioned in the same breath as some of the major players in the game. And I've talked to other folks in the industry, and I'm sure Nick can probably attest to this as well. But Nick Melillo has said that the industry is a lot like a poker game in the Old West, where everybody above the table's playing cards, drinking, having a good time. We're all here to help each other out. And then under the table, everybody has their guns drawn on everyone else. If that's the case, have you run into anybody trying to gatekeep you out? Because you do take a different approach, and you are different than your typical mainstream cigars. You're an entrepreneur. You are a musician. You're a creator. You are a positive influence, I believe, on the industry as a whole. Have you had people, and I don't want names, I just want to know, have you run into anybody in the industry that's gone, that's not how you're supposed to do this? You're doing it all wrong.
Look, first, Nick, great friend of mine. We get along very well. Second, we had some hiccups, I can say, probably, that people try to block us one way or another. But let me tell you, man, when you combine hard work, mindset, plan it out, and the power of God, nobody's gonna stop you, man. But the thing is, I didn't came into this industry to take customers. I don't wanna be like Fuente. I don't even pitch my marketing to the Fuente customers. That's not my niche. It's not the 60 and over HP of people. Eventually, my people is gonna grow and be there, and I'm gonna get that niche little by little. But if you always try to make a cigar brand to aim to the same people all the time, you're not going to be successful. Somebody that is 60 and over or 55 and over, that is already done, like he's retired, has money to pay $20 for a cigar. They don't care if you have a cigar that costs less. They don't really care. So my goal is to create my own movement, which is happening. My own movement, and grow. And they're gonna level me up. And I'm gonna give them what they want. I'm gonna give them happiness. I'm gonna give them a great cigar, a great experience. So I don't see nobody as my competition, because nobody do the thing the way I do.
No.
The way Blackbird does, nobody doesn't.
No, and I think that's awesome, because I think there needs to be more of that in the industry, which makes me want to ask Miyagi this question. You worked obviously for somebody else. You mentioned them, Family by Loyalty, and I feel like Alan and Jonas, maybe kindred spirits in a way, very much family oriented, very much. They're both positive individuals. But what are some of the differences positively that you see that Jonas is doing, that Blackbird's doing, that you guys are doing as a whole? And then also to kind of tack onto that is, what's it like working for a company that has their own factory? It's got to be much better in the position you're in with the company.
Well, definitely. It is a world of difference, I'll be honest with you. And the pace that Jonas works is completely different. Like he said, you know, he's thinking, you know, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. You know, he's on this chess game, and it surprises me every single time. There hasn't been a moment that we've hung out and just go do some work, and I don't walk out with like, man, how did you do that? I need to learn how to do that. So it's definitely been a great learning experience. I come from the customer service side of things. I used to be a, you know, technical support representative. I did a little bit of the sales. Nothing compares to sales in cigars. It's a complete different monster. It's a different industry. But the customer service is like the big thing. It's like the relationships that you build. And the fact that he portrays that so strongly, it's what really brought me into it. The fact that, you know, the way that he keeps up with everybody, like literally every single person that came to the booth, the times that I still wasn't part of the company, when I was sitting there having a conversation, everybody went up to him. It's like they just wanted to give him a hug. Like he's Mr. Huggable, like, you know, and it just kind of like that resonated. Alan had that vibe as well. Alan has that thing that just gravitates, that makes you gravitate to him as well. But, you know, so it's two different things. But yes, as you said, I think it's very kindred in certain ways. It's very, you know, adept when it comes down to like creating that relationship. That's very big on both companies. And that's what really brought me into it. At the end of the day, to be honest with you. And it's having a factory and everything, it's exciting because you're seeing more and new things coming around. You know, when this was being developed, I hadn't had the cigar and I was already sold. It's like, you got a Habano? I'm done. I love Habanos. So I know it's going to be good. Don't worry about it. Just send it my way. You know, let me be part of the testing. I'm good for it. You know, it's just awesome to see so much development, so many things. Listen to how, you know, a lot of things are happening on a factory. Eventually I'll be able to go visit there or something, but just being able to be on this side of the business and observe the growth. As he was saying, it was funny because when I started, it was kind of hard to bring out. It's like Blackbird. It's like people would be like, I think I've heard of you, but I'm not 100% sure. And I'll give him a call. It's like, hey, look, I'm with Blackbird. It's going to be in your area. He's like, oh yeah, when can you come see me? Come on. And doors are open. Come visit me. I'd love to have you guys over here. Like, well, you know, it's beautiful, honestly, to see the change.
And it, again, I want to make sure that the folks at home understand that while a lot of this is due to just your overall vibe, Jonas, your personality, your outlook on things, and the people you surround yourself with, like Miyagi, and having this family thing, excuse me, it's also because your cigars are really, really good. It's not just that people want to hang out with you because you're a fun guy. And that you're awesome and they love your outlook. They want to hang out with you because your cigars are good.
At the end of the day, you got to have good cigars. I mean, you know, like Jonas really has gotten his lane figured out, going at his own pace and his completely own lane. And that's what's unique. And you have to be unique in this business. You have to have your own lane, know what it is, and start from there. And like you said, eventually your lane can expand and you could have a whole lot of lanes in on your road. But when you start and you know which way you're going and you're focusing, that's the way to do it. And it sounds like he's in a very unique individual. Let me ask you, Jonas, how many rollers are you working with now at the factory?
Right now we have around 22 pairs. And I also want to say that no matter how beautiful your marketing is, at the end of the day, you're selling a product. And the only way you're going to have a repeat customer is when your cigar is great. That's why I give it to Papo El Caballo. He's a workaholic freak on the cigars. But he also liked that I put pressure on him, like, I don't like this. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. I'm like, bro, this little kid make me nervous. And he's like 60 already. Because I'm the one that gets the compliments, but also the bad things. They're there. So I say every time I take a plane, every time I take a time, pay hotel, pay airplane, that's that moment that you have with your customer. You cannot go to trash. You gotta nail it. You must have a great product, because all of that effort. Plus, if you spend around 3.5 years to make your first cigar, let's say you're growing everything on your own, fermenting all the tobacco and aging and everything, and you have a bad experience within 5 minutes, how do you think I'm going to feel in front of that customer? I'm going to feel very bad. But the name of Black Bear has to be great from marketing, cigars, structure, organization, the team, and everybody must be happy. If you're not a happy guy, I don't need you in the team. That's the way it is.
No, absolutely. I want to ask now, kind of esoteric, ethereal, whatever word you want to use, kind of question about the industry, because the industry, and I think Nick and I have had this conversation a little bit, the industry is aging. And what I mean by that is, I mean, Pete Johnson is what, 50? Arturo Carlito, he's getting up there in age. Even Rocky is getting up there. So do you think that guys like you in the industry can continue that light and shine it bright as some of the major players in our industry age? And when I look at you, you know, also Nick Melillo, Alan, Family by Loyalty, there's a lot of younger folks coming up, and you're really standing out among them because you are marketing to the younger folks in the industry, in the hobby. You want the Gen Z and the millennials, which you don't see that kind of marketing from Perdomo or Padron or Fuente. They're just like, oh, we're Padron, we're Fuente, we're Perdomo, we're Rocky. People know us. Do you think you have a leg up on them with this newer generation? Because you are like, yeah, that's great. You guys have your, I'm going after this sector, and this sector is going to grow with me. I'm not going to outgrow them, and they're not going to outgrow me. They're coming up with me. Do you think you've got a leg up on everybody just because of that?
Well, you say, like, if I'm going to be able to really keep up this light, that's what you mean, this light, keep growing. 100%. I remember when Drew Estate, nobody wants it until they start bringing the heat and bringing the Liga Privada, the Rednecks, and all of that. I have the core line. I'm also going to have another line that is going to be, let's call it, for the first class people. Let's just call it that way. But also, we got to see. We really need to see what's going on. Back in the days, people used to buy a yacht after they were like 65 or 70s. Nowadays, if you really check, there's a lot of people in the 40s having a yacht. So we're talking about buying power. So buying power, people buy Padron here and there. You can also get to that level with another product. So you feel that you want to pay like a cigar that's $25? Yeah, we're going to have the product at the same time. So it is like how I'm going to be like, nowadays, I'm even dressing different, like a little less aggressive, more towards, how can I say, classy, maintaining my essence. Let's just put it easy. Maintaining my Jordan ones, I can also look better. I can also look level up. And I can motivate the youth to also level up. I can tell them, hey, man, from Monday to Friday, you're going to smoke my $9 cigar. But Saturdays and Sundays, you got to go with $25 cigar. Of course, there's a lot of things you can do. But also, I learned from what they did. And but something that we can never forget. Padron was, what, 1954? Puente was 1912? We have literally 7 years in this. We can do a lot of things. So I'm pretty sure the guys that started smoking Padron on the 60s, they are not, they keep smoking that, but what age they are. So I always say that the niche will also grow with you. But also, most important part is how much your product engages more of the marketing. Because I always tell people, they can think otherwise, but the people that is going to buy those fancy cigars, they don't have time to be in the Instagram. They don't have time to really look at the marketing. I don't know if you have heard the Lamborghini does not do those commercial because their customers don't have time to watch TV.
Right.
So what happened? If you have a great product that your retailer is also believing in your product, what do you think is going to happen once we come with that product that can also compete with them? Hey, I know you smoke that, but this new kid in the block, he really competed with this market. You should try it. And how do you think it's going to feel somebody that can afford if you and he's going to be like, yeah, I'll try it. He's not going to feel offended in a way. Like, do you think I can afford it? Yeah, I'm trying. It's just how you get to them, how you get to them, and it's going to happen eventually, little by little, very well thought out.
So you mentioned a $25 cigar, and the industry as a whole seems to be going to more expensive cigars. I've heard that John Huber from Crown Heads had says that the day of the $10 cigar is over, and the day of the $20 cigar is upon us. Do you think that's the case, or will there always be a market for a cigar that's good, that's great, that's not $20?
There's still room, but the inflation is not helping us. Like, he's probably right with what he's saying. But for example, I'm pretty sure that my Glitch cigar that is $6.60 can compete with a lot of $12 cigar right now. But I made it that way. We planned it out. We did some tobacco for that, and how we can put the price down. But I kind of agree with him. Like, it's changing so much because of the inflation, but also, even if let's say there's less money in the streets, just to say it that way, people don't really want to smoke something that they don't like. They prefer to smoke less, but keep smoking quality, or stopping the subscription of Netflix or YouTube or whatever. Oh, that's gonna be my other two cigars that I'm gonna buy this month. I don't know. People are being very picky right now. And they are also not feeling bad about paying $15, $16 for a cigar.
No. Yeah, I mean,
No, they're not feeling
there's
bad.
obviously a market for it since everyone seems to be going that route. On the sales side, Miyagi, are you seeing any pushback at all when with some of these other cigars in the market that are so expensive, these $25, $30, $60, $100, $300 cigars?
Well, I've seen a little bit of everything, I'll be honest with you. For me, on the sales side, I've seen a lot of folks that have definitely appreciated the experience that they get, for example, with the glitch. Like, I've always done the, sit down, I see somebody smoking a cigar, like for the very first time, it's like, hey, how much would you pay for that cigar? Before they know anything about it. And when I tell them it's $6, it's like, no, it's impossible. Like, I'm telling you, it is $6. Like, go ask them, go. And it's a very nice surprise. It's very refreshing, but it is on both sides. You are seeing, and you've probably seen this yourself, there's a lot of cigars that are coming out new right now that are, we are used to seeing them on the range of like $12 to $16. Now you're starting to see $20 to $25. You're seeing other premium or ultra premium cigars, if you want to call it that way, that are now even up to $60. That are it's just becoming a common thing. It's true. Tobacco is getting really expensive and difficult. So it's going to happen at some point in time. But that I don't see that the $10 market will go away. A lot of people just want, that time on a range. They want to go out there and, shoot a few and then just be able to enjoy a good cigar. They want to go ahead and golf and they want to actually have a cigar to last them a good time, but it gives them a good experience. They don't want to be behind it all the time, having to relight it and a lot of the stuff. You want a good quality cigar. You want to spend some time with it. And a lot of the times they're looking for that $6 to $12 range so they can take a couple with them, you know, for a whole day in a course. You know, it's just, it's a little variable.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Jonah said, like the weekends, probably, yeah. You know, you want to go ahead and splurge yourself, but during the week, you don't want to be spending that much like that. It just doesn't make sense.
No, no. Who has time to sit there and pay attention during the week to a $60? I mean, I do, but most people don't. I have all the time. I have all the time in the world. It kind of sucks. I want to ask Miyagi, you guys released the Superb at TPE this year and not at the PCA. Why? Why TPE and not PCA?
I think it was good timing, honestly. It was early in the year. You know what? It was just a little bit of a taste, but it's something completely different. And we had a great opportunity that it was a little difficult when it comes down to like having TPE, PCA so close together. But to be able to speak about the cigar throughout the year, it was phenomenal to actually have it earlier, right? It got to the people's hands earlier. So now you have quite a bit of time throughout this year to really talk about the cigar. The theme about the cigar is like the bird of paradise, right? It's like they give you that sense of like you're in paradise when you have the cigar, that smoothness, that creaminess that you can get throughout the entire day. So, you know, if we would have waited just a little longer, you know, production, things like that could have actually happened. That could have affected terribly, you know, being able to get that word out. So I think that personally, I wasn't even surprised when week after TPE were out. It was crazy, like the feedback, people loving the cigar, and it gave the opportunity for us that like, PCA, you know, be able to push it as well, you know, talk about the cigar because now it's actually out there. So I think honestly, to me, it was the best time. It gave a lot of people, you know, the opportunity to actually, you know, go out there, find a cigar, discover it and try it. And then, you know, for another event or another time later out the year, now we actually got a market going on.
Nice. Jonas, let me ask you this. I'll come back to you for this question. There was a lot of chatter this year that I heard at the PCA, the TPE wasn't what it had been for premium cigars in years past. And was that the case for you? Do you think you'll go back to TPE next year? Or are you really looking forward to just the PCA in New Orleans next year? Like what are your thoughts on this dual trade show that the industry has?
Well, because it's April, yeah, I'm definitely coming back to TPE. I would love to only do one show a year in America because I also do the Eastern Tobacco in Germany. But you can release two stuff. Like if you do something in TPE and you ship it in March, then you have something else for TPCA that you ship it in May or June, you're already giving a window to each product during the process. But also, I believe TPE, because it's going to be Las Vegas, and then you have New Orleans, I think people can be a little more excited to go to different places. Or you're going to have like a division, like people from the West will go to TPE, and the other people from the Center and the East will go to PCA. As a premium cigar convention, of course, whatever is premium cigars, they will always go more to the PCA. It makes more sense. But in TPE, you also get up the smoke shops, distributors, and things like that that go there. At the moment, I think it's good to go to both.
Okay. we're running quickly out of time. So I want to ask this. Where do you see Blackbird? I want to ask Miyagi this first because I want to see what what his vision is. And kind of where he sees things going, I'm want you to answer the same question, Jonas. But Miyagi, where do you see Blackbird in 5 years?
5 years? Wow, I haven't ever been asked that. But at the rate that we're going, honestly, in 5 years, I see a lot of growth. I see a lot of community behind it. You know, in just a short couple months, I mean, I've seen quite a bit of a growth. I foresee that just continue to just. I guess the snowball effect and continue to grow, you know, at a faster rate. Definitely the factory is going to be making a big difference. You know, the quality is there, you know, so I can't really see us slowing down anytime soon. I mean, as a sales rep, I'm booked all the way through June. And I'm dreading myself just because of that. Because I'm looking, it's like, when do I get a breather time here in between? You know, I want to do some Call of Duty too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to have some me time, but nope, that's not in the books for a little while.
Yeah, which people don't really understand that. Even as a sales guy for a cigar company, like, you're always busy, you're always traveling. You don't, it's not just all glamour and glitz and smoking cigars all day. Like, it's actual work. People need to understand that.
Yes. It's the way that my wife actually sets it up is like, you get paid to go to shops, smoke cigars, and talk to people. I'm like, you're kind of oversimplifying it, because I have to go to that shop. I have to travel. I actually have to be traveling. But yes.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, it's not the easiest life. I get that. Jonas, where do you see Blackbird in 5 years? Are you tracking with Miyagi? Like, where do you see it?
Top five cigars of the year. It has to be a Blackbird in 5 years. No more than that. One of the cigars that people always want to have in the rotation. I think estimated, like, full consumers of these, they probably smoke 10 brands. I always want to be one of them. But yeah, one of my goals, I wanted to be in the top five. If probably I can do number one. But I don't wanna force myself and the company too much. But we have to be top five cigars all the time.
That's that perfectionist coming out in Miyagi. I told you. That's a lofty goal, Jonas. In 5 years, to have a number one cigar or a top five, even. That's a very lofty goal.
If I do top five, I'm gonna be 85% happy.
You won't even be 100% happy. I'll just be like, I'll be 85% happy.
Number one cigar, but really earn it, like people's choice. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. People's choice, like, people always suggest, like, bro, this is the guys. They are the complete package. I would love to be number one, but I need to understand that there's a process. There's a lot of places that must have the cigar at the same time. And keeping the quality for the next 5 years is a big challenge for the factory. So what, you want to go backwards or you want to keep growing? You want to keep growing. But it's not only, people think that is sometimes, I'm not saying that they're telling that about us, but when people probably hear somebody like me talking about the company and where we want to get there, it's not for the money. We understand that money is a tool. We need it. We need every organization. The churches need money, whatever. But actually, for some reason, money does not motivate me. I prefer the people. Like, I prefer when somebody calls me, not because they need money from me, just because they can get knowledge, they can get some fun, they can get away from whatever problem. I think that's why I want the people's choice to say Blackberry has to be top five in the country. Of the cigars, most selling cigar, but people, not only advertising or you know, magazine, things like that, people telling others, man, you're not smoking a Blackberry, you're truly missing out. That's what I want.
So, to paraphrase, you really want the people to be the wind beneath your wings. I've been waiting all podcast to make that joke. Oh, I apologize, because that was terrible. Joe, just tell the people where you're going to be next, where they can find you. And then Miyagi, same to you. Where can people find you? Events out and about, wherever, where they can find you, sit down, maybe have a cigar, talk with you, and really get the full Blackbird experience.
Miyagi, you first.
Well, we're going to be this Friday in Buford.
Remember, this comes out May 1st.
Okay. Yeah, right. No, okay. So no. We're going to be definitely in Tennessee. I'm going to be rocking Tennessee next week. So hopefully in May, you're going to see me out there as well. If you're ever in any of the shops, just go ahead and hit me up on Instagram. I'll be more than glad to grab a cigar with you.
What's your Instagram?
It's Miyagi PR.
There you go. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. Jonas, what about you? What's next for you?
After May, I'm going to be PA. I need to visit Kentucky with Miyagi the second week. I'm going to put it right now in my calendar. I'm going to be in Dominican Republic. I'm going to be in a lot of places for the next 11 weeks, man. And you can also find me at Blackbird Cigar on Instagram, Jontana RD. That's my, let's say, my personal music Instagram. And you know how it is. And click my link.
I love it. I love it. Jonas Santana, Miyagi Montes, Blackbird Cigars. Guys, thank you so much for your time, for your knowledge. I really appreciate you guys coming on. These are two of the most real, down-to-earth individuals that I have met in the industry. I love talking with them. I love seeing them. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for coming on.
Nick.
Absolutely.
Nick, another one in the can, as they say.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
We're done with it. What's the next one?
And I can always tell people, we know when you are smoking a cigar, you're burning your money. So please make sure you're burning it right. Smoke a Blackbird.
I love it.
There you go.
Because I always tell people that, like, what hobbies are you into? I'm like, well, I like to roll up money and burn it. I'm like, what? The guy likes cigars. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. So there you go. Guys, again, thanks to Jonas and Miyagi. Always a great time. If you haven't tried the new Superb, you got to go try it. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the newest blend in their core line that they haven't added to in a while. So go find this. Absolutely fantastic. Go try the Glitch. It's $6. And all of the other stuff that they've got. Their Connecticut is fantastic. Like I said, when I first tried Blackbird, I was blown away. I'm sure you guys will be too. Join us next week when Tim will be hosting Clear of the Air, our after show, where we will talk about Miyagi and Jonas behind their back and then put it out there for everybody to listen to, including Jonas and Miyagi. So until then, guys, thanks for watching. Stay smoky, friends.